Archbishop Patrick Kelly, an early Easter this year?
Very early, but it's also good to remember that the first moments of Easter Day were told very early in the morning. They went to the tomb and found the stone had been rolled away. There's something right about saying, yes, this is the feast of that which happens early in the day. It's a promise of a very new day indeed. It's a promise of everything being fresh and unspoilt. And therefore, an early Easter, an early morning, I think it all makes sense.
Pope Benedict has spoken in the last week and said that God should not be seen as a competitor, not in competition with other things. Today there will be social events, entertainment, some shopping. How do you feel about that?
I think what we say about Easter is that the resurrection says, not only shall my fine thoughts live on, not only shall what we might call my spirit live on, but in my flesh I shall see God. And therefore, I would say that all these other activities, they're only given a firm foundation by the truth which is Easter. If all of these things are just for now, well then, in the end, they're all vanity. But Easter Day says, all the things which bring us real joy, all real friendship, shall not be lost. However, we need to remember the road to Easter Day. It was the road of somebody who said, I will forgive, I'll place others first. And therefore, all these other things, if they're self-seeking, they are built on sand. Easter Day says they can be built on solid rock.
The events which have been commemorated during Holy Week centre on the Middle East, on the place we call the Holy Land, a place of strife and trouble nowadays. How do you feel that our prayer in Liverpool can help that situation?
I think I've always understood that our sisters and brothers in the Middle East, they have two resolutions by which they live, which I think should be ours as well. First of all, never to be silent in the face of injustice wherever it's found. But secondly, always, so to speak, there remain those who reconcile. That's the sense in which we are not primarily a campaigning people. We may campaign about things, but in such a way that we're always creating space for real conversation, for real attempts to understand one another. And therefore, I would say that by accompanying our Christian brothers and sisters in the Holy Land in their journey, we're learning what our journey should be as well.
Do you feel personal sadness that a land which should be at peace, which is at the root of all peace, endures such tribulation?
More than feel it, I've experienced it very vividly. I more than once have wept in the Holy Land because that's all I could do, just tears at the horror of the contrast between what should be and what is. However, it always strikes me too that, amazingly, unless the story we remembered in these days was of God, it would have collapsed long ago, because it's built on such, in a sense, frail foundations, and yet the truth still shines on. I know, for example, beyond any doubt, what the Pope is going to say later this morning. I haven't seen his script, but what he'll say in hundreds of languages is, the Lord is risen. That's the fact, and that's our hope.
Liverpool is Capital of Culture 2008, and that theme of culture, European culture, is something which you've reflected during the services at the Cathedral this last week.
Indeed, because learning, I think, from the late Holy Father, when, after a meeting which I was blessed to attend in Rome with European bishops some years ago, he then wrote a letter called The Church in Europe, and running through the whole thing is that the Christian understanding of life can be to culture an inspiration, an encouragement, and perhaps above all, the assurance that when it doesn't work out, there still can be forgiveness and beginning again, which is where, again, we come to the fact an early Easter, an early day, is exactly what we need.
And the culmination of the Easter celebration today in the Metropolitan Cathedral is the Mass televised on BBC One at 10 o'clock. How do you feel about that?
It's a great responsibility, as I believe, is the challenge of being European Capital of Culture. That is a challenge and a responsibility. But a responsibility which for us in the Cathedral is rooted in the fact that we've made the journey of this week every single day with great depth, with great seriousness of purpose, with great prayer. And therefore, I've no doubt at all, it shall be blessed for those there, shall be a blessing for all those who take part, and I believe also will lead wonderfully into the next broadcast, which will be direct from Rome.
The Mass will be broadcast throughout the country, seen by millions, heard by millions. Is this an opportunity for evangelisation?
It is, but I see it above all not in the sense of a dramatic call to change, but simply a declaration of the fact that death shall not have the last word, that sin is overcome, and therefore, in the midst of a world with many, many troubles, there still is a light which cannot be extinguished. I think in that sense it's an act of evangelisation. There's no thumping of any tubs at all. It is a simple presentation of the fact. The tomb is empty. He is not there. He is risen, is with us still.
And you mentioned that the broadcast immediately after the Mass is from Rome. It's the Pope's Easter blessing. If you overrun, will you keep the Pope waiting?
I hope not, but I often say if there's anywhere I'd rather be on Easter Day than Liverpool, it would be Rome. And for a very profound reason. Why is Rome so important today? It's because an old, old man, Simon Peter, was put to death in a square, which is what now is St. Peter's Square, because he refused to be silent about what he'd seen and heard. He died because he said, "The Lord is risen," and he'd rather give his life than deny that very important fact.